Good morning. We welcome you to our Bible class today. And instead of a Bible study today, we're going to have Brother Michael Mayo, missionary to Thailand, be reporting on the work there. He'll also be speaking at the worship hour. So we're glad to have him. We'll make a more full introduction later. But Michael's been in country now, I think, since the end of August, starting out in Los Angeles and worked his way across the country. And we'll end up this week in Texas and then be returning to Thailand. So we're glad that he's with us. We've been supporting him there for several years. And we're glad he'll be speaking to us. If you have your bulletin, you may want to look in the front. Jane put a map on there that shows Thailand and some of the surrounding countries. And there's a star showing the location in Chiang Mai where Michael's located.
It's always great to be here with you. Always feels like coming home when I'm up here. You know, we've had a lot of association together in 10 years, while I was working in West Virginia. And so it feels like homecoming to me when I come here and I'm with you all, and I appreciate you so much. Really, what we're going to be talking about this morning is our work together, because you have been supporting this work, and it's the work that we're doing. And it really takes all of us working together to be able to do works like the one we're doing together in Thailand. I'm a little bit, I was over in West Virginia last night. I was staying with some friends over in St. Albans, and I set my alarm this morning and did not realize that my phone was still on Central Time, and so I feel a little bit rushed this morning, but it's good to be here, and I'll get right on with the lesson. We want to begin this morning in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. It says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her.'" And right here in Flatwoods, Kentucky, we are speaking of her this morning. Do you know why? Because she hath done what she could. She did what she could. Do you know what that means? She did all that she could. You know how I know that? Because if you haven't done all you could, then you haven't done what you could. And so this lady had done all that she could. And I want you to think about the amazing compliment that that is. That is one of the greatest compliments that could really be given. Can you imagine standing before God's throne and Jesus saying, "This is Mayo. He did what he could." That's amazing. He did what he could. He did all he could. Brethren, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing all that we can for the Lord. And so this morning as we examine the work that we are doing together, we're going to be asking this very question: have we done all that we could? We want to be thinking about, have we done all that we could right here in Flatwoods? Have we done all that we can right here in Kentucky? Have we done all we can in the United States? Have we done all that we can do throughout the world? Brethren, I think the answer is no, we haven't. We can do more. That's not to say that we haven't been doing good, but that just goes to say we can do more, and we need to be doing more for the Lord. We're going to talk for just a minute about the parable of the talents. You remember the parable of the talents? The first thing I want us to think about, we're not going to read it because we're very familiar with the parable of the talents, but think about this. The parable of talents does not say there was a man who had the ability to handle 5 talents, and there was a man who had the ability to handle 2 talents, and there was a man who had no ability. It doesn't say that. Every single one of the men had ability. You see, that we need to understand that when the Bible says talents, it's talking about a sum of money. In fact, a very large sum of money. But it says in the text that he gave to each according to his ability. That's the way we use the word talent. We use it to mean ability. But the fact is, each one had ability. Each one had ability. And I want you to know that if you are a Christian here this morning, you have ability to serve God, and you need to be doing all that you can for the Lord. Now let's think about these men. God did not say to the man who had the ability to handle two talents, here's five talents and I expect you to deal with it. He didn't have the ability to do that. He gave him two talents. Why? Because he had the ability to handle two talents. God does not expect us to do what we can't, but he does expect us to do what we can. He expects us to use all of our ability for him. And so he gave the five-talent man, the man who had the ability to handle five talents, five talents. He did what he could. He used his ability. He gained five more talents. He gave to the man who had the ability to use two talents, two talents. He did what he could. He used his ability, and he gained two more talents. He gave to the man who had the ability to handle one talent, and the man did nothing. And the text of Scripture calls him a wicked and lazy servant. Why? Because he had the ability, but he didn't use it. He could have used his ability, but he didn't. You see, that's really the difference. The first two men did what they could. They had the ability to do certain things, and they used their ability. They did what they could and gained for their master. The third man, though, had the ability, but he didn't do what he could do. We don't want to be wicked and lazy servants of the Lord. We want to do what we can do. And so we have to ask ourselves, have we done all that we can do? Have we done all that we can do? Are we doing all that we can do for the Lord right now? You know, this is one of the most beautiful texts of Scripture to me. Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at this. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How can they preach unless they be sent? You know what this text tells us? It takes goers and senders to fulfill the Great Commission. Both are equally important. Because if there are people willing to go and no one willing to send, the commission won't be fulfilled. Or if there are people willing to send but no one's willing to go, the commission won't be fulfilled. And so it takes both working together. And I'm thankful that you and I are working together as goers and senders to teach the gospel to the people in Thailand. You know, my family are doing what we can to teach people sometimes on very difficult situations and with hardships. I've told you about some of the hardships we've faced over the years, but even just this last year, because I changed the type of visa that I had to get a visa every 3 months. Four times I had to get a visa. Each time the paperwork is this thick. Now with the type of visa that I had to get this visa, and then in 30 days I had to go back to the immigration and get another stamp in my passport so I could stay another 60 days. They give me 30 days and then a stamp and then 60 days. Well, it was about time for me to come over here, and I realized that if I got this same kind of visa, I was going to have a problem, because when it came time to get the stamp for 30 days, I'd be in America. So I went and I talked to the government. I said, look, what can I do? Because I need a longer visa. And they said, well, for this type of visa, sometimes we don't give longer visas. And we might can get you 6-month visa, but maybe not. Just depends. I said, well, what do I have to do? And they said, well, first of all, fill out this paperwork. So I filled out the paperwork. Governments love paperwork, don't they? Filled out this paperwork, and I went and I gave it. And she said, okay, now I have to come to your office. I have to come see your work. And so the lady made an appointment with me. She came to the office. She interviewed me. She talked with me. And then I said, when am I going to find out? She said, well, August 1st, you'll know whether you get a letter or not? And I said, well, on August 23rd, I'm flying out. I've already got the ticket. She said, well, that's all I can tell you. On August the 10th, I called and I said, look, I haven't heard from you. You told me on August the 1st. She said, well, the problem is we got a new mayor. And he's backlogged with all he's doing, and he might get to it or he might not. Another week passed by. Nearly time for me to go, and I have to get a visa. The lady called me. She said, got your letter. Come on over. So I said, okay, don't leave your office. I'm leaving my house right now. I ran across Chiang Mai, got to her office, got the letter. She said, you know, we see the work that you're doing, and we're impressed. They gave me a year visa. Secondly, we want you to do something for us. I said, okay, if I can do it, I'd be happy to. They want me to write literature to teach young people about human trafficking. Human trafficking is a terrible problem. That's fantastic. Number one, it gives us recognition with the government. But more than that, think of all the people that they're going to pass this literature out to that are going to have teaching about God and how God made you in his image and that you're special and that you need to protect yourself and have our contact number. And so it's going to open up a whole lot more people even to teach. And so we're excited about it. So even the hardships that we face bring about blessings. And so we're thankful for the ability to be there. We need your continued help in the sending so that together we can continue the work we're doing. I think after we get done this morning, you're going to be excited. I'm excited about the work that we're doing. Some fantastic things are happening in our work, and I think you're going to be excited in the work that we're doing together. This is my family. You remember my kids from when they were little, coming over here to different youth events that you had. My wife, my kids, you know, if I had about a week, I could, month or year or something, I could tell you about them. It's not really polite to boast, but I love my family because without their support, without their help, I wouldn't be able to be where I am and doing what I'm doing. Really, our mission in Thailand is the same mission that you have here. It's the same work that God has given us, that God has given you, because we are the church. And that is to evangelize, to edify, and to do benevolence. Those are three things that God has given the church the responsibility to do. Sometimes we use big words, but simply that means teach the lost, build up the saved, and help those who are in need. And that's the work that God has given us. And so we want to look at each of the areas of these three things and what we're doing together in Thailand. We go anywhere we are allowed to teach the gospel. Most of the time we sit on the floor. Reason for that is they don't have furniture. Can't afford it. Most of the people that we go to teach are so poor I can't even really describe it to you. We went to this village. There were three Christian ladies in this village. They'd been baptized 20 years ago. There's a problem that has occurred in mission fields over the years, and I'm going to explain it to you this morning, and then we're going to show you what we're going to do to correct this problem, or what we are doing to correct this problem. What has happened is missionaries have gone to the mission field. They've started congregations. They've trained preachers. They've put them in those congregations. They've paid them. Well, then the missionary dies or returns home, and the money stops. And there's a preacher in a place where he cannot support himself or his family. And so he has to leave there and go into a city somewhere to find work so that he can support his family, leaving the church there alone, and slowly, 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 they fall away. That's why on Sunday mornings, our Sundays, we travel to so many different places, because there's these little pockets of Christians everywhere, and if we don't go and teach them and build them up, they won't have anyone. And so what we're working to do is get preachers at these places. But when we found this little village, there were three people who had been baptized about 20 years ago. They couldn't get out of their village, and they're elderly, poor. So we started working with this village. They now have a preacher and a church building. This village had 29 people in it. Now their average attendance on Sunday morning is 35. Half the people in this village have now been baptized, and I believe more will be as time goes on. Why? Because of the work that we're doing together. Evangelism, going and teaching. We had a gospel meeting in this particular congregation, and you know, we had 84 people at one service in the rainy season. A rainy season in Thailand is, we don't get rain for 6 months, for 9 months. 9 months a year, we don't get any rain. 3 months of the year, we get our entire rainfall. You've heard the word monsoon. The word monsoon actually means wind. And what happens is the wind picks up the South China Sea and dumps it on Southeast Asia. And so there's torrential rains that flood down, and there's flooding. It's horrible. And so it's actually why we built a building for them to worship in. They live in these little bitty huts. There wasn't a hut big enough for all of them to meet in. And they have grass roofs, or you can see just in the corner at the right, they use teak leaves, and they'll sew them together to make roofs for their houses. And so we built a building for them to worship in. We will have another gospel meeting there right after I get back in the month of October, and we expect well over 100 people to be in attendance. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. In Thai. Hechanan tantang lai jong ok bai sang son chon tuk patet. Hai bin su wok, hai rap baptisma nai nam heng prapi da le prabut le prawanyan borisut. Son kao hai te raksa sing sarapat sung rao son puk tan wai. Ni le, rao ju yu gap tantang lai sa mer bai bin nik gua just in lo. But you see, it doesn't really matter what language we use. This is the commission that we have been given. We are to go. We are to teach. We are to baptize. We are to teach. That's the commission. It's a fourfold commission. Go, teach, baptize, teach. We spend a lot of time in the second teaching. The first teaching is evangelism. The second teaching is edification. It's the building up, the grounding of new Christians in the faith. And you see, sometimes I think we have not fulfilled the commission. Oh, we go, we teach, we baptize, we go, we teach, we baptize, we go, we teach, we baptize, we go, we teach, we baptize. And we say, hey, what happened to the first three? Why'd they fall away? Where have they gone? The problem is, we haven't finished the commission. We haven't continued to teach them all of the teachings of Christ, rooting them and grounding them in the faith. And so we spend a lot of time in the second teaching in Thailand. But I want you to note the word go, or in this text, really has the force of as you go. As you go. That's what we see in the church in the first century. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. And daily, oh boy, we could stop right there and preach all day, couldn't we? And daily, in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. You know why the church grew in the first century every day? They were out teaching every day. And so, brethren, we need a little bit more daily in our Christian living. But the fact is, in Acts chapter 5, the whole church was still gathered in Jerusalem. They hadn't gone back home. They hadn't been scattered abroad. And so in Acts chapter 5, they were all in Jerusalem. Now, the whole church was in Jerusalem. What did they do? They taught, they baptized, they taught. We turn over a few pages to Acts chapter 8, and we see that persecution had come against the church by one Saul of Tarsus. And as he began to persecute the church, the persecution was so strong that the church was scattered abroad. It's interesting to note, if you look in the context, the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. The church was scattered abroad. What'd they do? Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. When they were in Jerusalem, what'd they do? Taught. When they were scattered abroad, what'd they do? Taught. That's as you go, wherever you are. It really means you don't have to go anywhere. But as you go through life, teach, baptize, teach. When you go to school, teach, baptize, teach. When you go to work, teach, baptize, teach. When you go to the grocery store, teach, baptize, teach. That's the commission that we've been given. That's the mission that we've been given. That's the most important work that we have to do, is to teach people and give them the opportunity to have hope. But this great commission that we've been given also tells us that we need to go into all nations. I believe God has given us a commission we can fulfill. I do not believe that God gave us the commission, go into all nations, teach everyone, knowing, well, they can't do it. I believe we have been given a commission that we can fulfill, but it's going to take all of us working together to fulfill the commission. You know why? Because there are people that you know that I don't know and probably will never, ever meet. And there are people that I know who I know you will never, ever meet. And if you don't teach the people you know and I don't teach the people I know, who's going to teach them? You see, brethren, it's going to take all of us working together to fulfill the Great Commission. Here's some of the places that we go and teach. You can see inside this little hut, this is strips of bamboo on the floor and wooden beams and then leaves sewn together for the roof. And we sit on the floor and teach. Sometimes now I wear a knee brace. I'm 55 years old and sitting on a floor all day long teaching the Bible. By the end of the day, sometimes I have trouble standing back up. But that's okay. That's a little thing when we think about our purpose, why we're there, what we're doing, and the benefit that we are able to do. Now, I need to tell you about this top picture. We use a veterinarian in our work, and I'll explain about that in a minute. But nonetheless, we use a veterinarian. He travels with us, and he's not a Christian yet. I believe that very soon he will be because he's seen our work and he's heard us teach. The last time I was in his village, he said, Michael, could you go to my sister-in-law's house and teach? And I said, well, sure. I said, what time does she want me to be there? He said, about 7 o'clock. So I said, okay. I thought it would be him and his wife and his sister-in-law. I wasn't even sure if she was married. We got there. There were 30 people. 30 people gathered to hear the gospel taught. And I didn't know their background. Most of the people in Thailand are Buddhist. But up in the mountains, there are some denominations that are there. And so I had no idea what their background was. So I started in Genesis and talked about how God loved us and he gave us the perfect place. He gave us everything we needed. And we turned our back on God and sin. And the rest of the Bible is God's showing God's love and his way to provide a way back for us, a way back to him. And I went through the plan of salvation very slowly, step by step, verse by verse. We visited with the people after I was done, and we left. About 3 weeks ago, I was driving across Texas, and my phone rang. I looked at it, and it was from Thailand, so I zipped off to the side of the road, answered my phone. It's the man I work with. His name is Pasagorn Sitong Te. He called me, he said, Michael, you remember the night we went to the veterinarian's house, sister-in-law's house to teach? I said, yeah. He said, there was a Baptist preacher there and some of his congregation. And after we left, they started talking. And the conversation went something like this. That man opened the Bible and read to us things that we have never taught and never done. So they began studying. The preacher eventually admitted, look, I guess we've just been teaching falsely. And he's requested to study with me as soon as I get back to Thailand. I can't wait to get back. Brethren, God is opening doors for us. Because what's going to happen is, I'm going to get back. We're going to teach this man, and then he's going to help us teach all those people that he's been teaching. He's going to open so many doors. Right? I've been teaching a Pentecostal minister for the last 3 or 4 months. He's very close to becoming a Christian. And I have two other Pentecostal preachers that want to study with me when I get back to Thailand. And so God is opening doors to us because these people, they've only been taught a few verses. And when they hear the gospel preached, it's sort of like Simon the Sorcerer. I can't talk this morning. I don't speak in English very much, I got to tell you. Simon the Sorcerer, when he saw the true power of God, he realized that what he had wasn't it. When these people hear the gospel in its purity, in its simplicity, in its power, they realize that's not what we've been teaching. And so I believe that there are people with honest hearts and they will hear the gospel and they will come to the Lord. And so we're excited about the work going. Now, this is the church building we built. You know, I told you we built the church building. This is it. It's the nicest building in the village. Oh, there's no padded pews. No air conditioning. But it's a place where they can come in out of the weather and worship God. It's kind of good that we did this because a few weeks ago, it's the rainy season in Thailand right now. They called me and they said, look, two of our families got flooded out. The river overflowed and destroyed their huts, and they have nowhere to go. I said, yeah, they do. We built a building, put them there. And then share your food with them, and as soon as the water goes down and we can get back up there, we'll bring some more food and some help, and we'll help them rebuild their houses. And so that's what we did, but we had this available for them. But really, this is what it's all about. And these baptisms that you're looking at, these took place in the last 6 months. This man, paralyzed from the waist down, the way we got him out of the village was one man carried him on his back up the mountain to my truck, put him in the back of my truck. We drove halfway down the mountain. Then they carried him on their back down the other side of the mountain to the river. They set him in the shallow part of the river. I knelt down beside him and baptized him. But look at this. Look at his face after he came out of the water. Brethren, that's what it's all about. And he went on his way rejoicing. Brethren, it's exciting, the things that are happening in Thailand, in our work together. This man is the head man of that particular village. He said to me, Michael, before you all came, we had no food, we had no water, we had no hope. And now we have all those things, and the most important is hope, because you came and taught us about God's Word. Brother, that's what we're doing together, and that's the work that we will continue doing together. This was the last baptism before I came, August the 11th. This young man is 19 years old. On August the 18th, the last Sunday before I came, before Bible class, he led a song, and during the worship, he helped wait on the Lord's table. You know why? Because from day one, we train these men and women who are baptized that they need to be servants of the Lord, and that they need to be active and willing to do whatever is needed of them for the Lord. But I have to ask myself, have we done all we can do? I think we can do more, brethren, and I think we are going to do more. In fact, several of the brethren from Thailand have called me since I've been here and said, whew, you better rest up while you're in America, because when you get back, we have a lot of work to do. And I said, okay, I'm excited. Let's get there and we'll get it all done. But I told them, I don't really have too much time to rest while I'm here. I've driven 6,000 miles in the last few weeks. And this evening I'll preach over in West Virginia. And after that service, I will begin my drive back to Texas, which I need to be in Texas tomorrow evening so that I can get some business settled and get on a plane to get back to Thailand. But not too much rest, but that's okay, because the work that we're doing is exciting. And when we get back and get involved in these things, that will give us the energy to continue on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, edify one another, even as also ye do. Edify one another. That's one of those big words, edify. What's it mean? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, there's a story that we teach our children. You remember, the wise man built his house upon the rock. That word built in the Greek is the exact same Greek word that's used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, translated edify. So what we're to do is we're to build one another up. We need to be building one another up, brethren. We need to, who doesn't need to be built up? We all need to be built up. And so we need to be building one another up so that we can do the work of the Lord together now, and so that we can continue working for the Lord through our lives, and so that we can go live together with the Lord throughout eternity. Now, this is a picture of the youth camp we had this last April. We had about 120 people that came. About 75 to 80 youth came. We feel it's very important to train these youth, because as we looked around, the church is getting older and older, and the young people just aren't there. And so we are working on and focusing on training these young people and grounding them in the faith. We decided that we have a little bitty congregation, meets in my living room. We have about 40 people at the moment that crowd into my living room. No air conditioning. Sometimes it's about 112 to 115 degrees, 75% humidity, and we are all crammed in there together. But you know what? It's a beautiful time of worship together. we decided that we wanted to have this camp 100% free, because the people in Thailand are so poor that if they are charged anything, they just can't come. They can't afford it. And so we spent our contribution for 2 years. Every baht, every penny that we collected for 2 years, we spent on this. We also got help from a church in Alabama. We also got help from a church, the Jerome Church of Christ in Singapore. And then we took out a loan. And we paid for everything. We finished paying off that loan right before I came, the week before I came. So we spent 2.5 years of contribution to have this youth camp. And we are determined to have it every year. 1 year it will be in the Northeast, and they will take care of it. 1 year we will have it. So we will every 2 years we'll have the financial burden. But it took us 2.5 years contribution to do it this time. That's okay. We're planning, we're excited, we're working, and I know that God is going to bless us so that we can continue this on, because this is a great time of teaching and building up these young people so that the church can be strong now and in the future. Oop, I went too far. Okay. This bottom picture shows my Sundays. I drive between 200 and 400 miles every Sunday going to these little places. I start at 6 o'clock in the morning, pick up the brethren in Chiang Mai. We come to my house, we have Bible class and worship, we all pile in the van, and then we go to 3 to 5 different places and worship with brethren. One man that we go to worship with is a round trip, 9.5 hour trip to go and to worship with him and to edify him. But we see this as important, and this is the promise that I made to the brethren. I said, now I know you're giving up your Sunday, the Lord's day, we're going to give him this day, and so here's what I will do for you. I will give a different lesson at each place that we go. So that's a little bit more work for me, but that's okay. Gives me more opportunity to teach more Bible to them. And so at each place we go, we have a different lesson that we teach and edify the brethren in those different places. But have we done all we can do? I don't think we have, because our goal is to have congregations in each of these places with self-supporting ministers. That's what we're working on right now. We have a plan whereby we are going to make preachers self-supporting, tent makers. Thailand's an agricultural society. We're doing it through the raising of animals. That's why I told you we have a veterinarian that travels with us. We take him to train them before we give them animals, train them how to care for them, how to feed them, how to do everything that they need to do so that they can keep these animals healthy and that they can build a business through them. We use pigs, chickens, ducks, fish, frogs. They eat the whole frog in Thailand, not just the leg. When you're hungry, you eat just about anything. And also, we have a plan to start with some goats too, but right now we're using those things. You might think it's strange for missionaries to say, well, you know what? We're spending money to buy pigs. But the goal is to have self-supporting preachers in these places so that the work can go on. Because I've seen what's happened in the past. These preachers that we're helping now, getting self-supporting, they're excited about this because some of them have experienced, okay, now I have no way to support my family. I'm going to have to move away. I have to leave these brethren that I love and don't know what's going to happen to them, and I have to go to the city to take care of my children. And so there's this conflict with them. So they're excited about this. We started this about a year ago, and this has continued to grow. Our first pigs have been born. We have to buy piglets. We can't afford to buy pigs. We buy piglets. We help them raise them. And so we buy food. We buy medicine. We help them raise them. For the first year, we also give financial support because they're not getting any income the first year from their animals. The second year, they should start getting some income return. So we lower the amount that we help them, and we lower how much food we give them. The third year, we give them very minimal amount of money and minimal amount of food for the animals, and by the fourth year they should be totally self-supporting. We've also told them, and they have all agreed to, once you are self-supporting, you will take a portion of that and help another preacher, so that this whole program, once it's up and running, will be completely supported and self-sustained inside of Thailand. So that no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to support from America, they will continue to be able to grow and be strong and have good, sound, faithful congregations of the Lord. And so that's what we're working toward currently. It's exciting. Do you know that people all over the mountains know the name Church of Christ right now because of the work we're doing? We pull into a gas station and they'll say, "Where are you going?" Because they see our truck mounted up with things that we're taking up to work. And we say, "Well, we're members of the Church of Christ and we're helping." "Oh, we know the village you're helping up there. We know what you're doing." They know it. If the news of what we have done has spread like wildfire. And so, brethren, the work that we're doing together is really beginning to grow and to strengthen, and we're excited about what's going to happen in the next few years as we work together. But have we done all we can do? I think we can do even more than we've done in the past. Here's some of the things we've done. That's my oldest son, Miles, helping me fertilize a soybean field. You know how you plant soybeans in Thailand? Well, first of all, you burn the field to get the stuff off from last year, and then you soak the field to make it soft, and then three people take a pointed stick and go boop, 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 make holes. The other people come, bend over like this, with put three soybeans in each hole, three soybeans in each hole. It's back-breaking work. It takes hours and days and months and years. But we see it as beneficial because once these people are self-supporting, we know that the church will stand and be strong for years and years to come. Another thing that we do, and these are some of the young people that we help go to school. We help young people go to school because what happens in Thailand is the parents can't afford the kids to go to school. So they take them out of school and stick them in the field. And the cycle of poverty goes on and on and on. The way out of poverty is education, but they don't get the chance to stay in school. And so we're helping these young people, about 30 young people this year, stay in school. We've helped some of these for several years, and we keep adding each year. It costs $450, about $425 to $450, depending on the school, for a student to go to school for a year. But some of their parents make less than $200 a month. And so that's like 3 months, 4 months' salary just for one child to go to school. And so if you've got two or three kids, they just can't afford it. They can't afford it and live, and they're barely living as it is. And so they take their kids out of school. All of these kids that we're helping are either sons, daughters, grandchildren, or relatives of members of the church. We designed this program because we want to help them have a good education. We don't want to just keep them in school. We want them to have a good education. So I round up kids on Saturday, and I bring them to a spot together, and I teach English, Thai, math, science, and Bible. And on Tuesday night and Thursday night, I do that with the older kids. Because I want them to have a good education. I want them to have a chance at life. And that's really why we started this. But you know, 8 of the older kids have been baptized. Why? Well, number one, because we're teaching them Bible. But number two, because I believe they have seen Christian love in action, that people are actually concerned about them, concerned about their lives, and wanting them to have a better life. But have we done all we can do? Brother, I got to tell you, right, I thought all three of my children finished, my last child, my daughter, finished university this last spring. I thought, whew, daddy can breathe a little bit because he'll have a little bit of money. I haven't had any money for the last about 5 years. It's all gone straight into education. But right now, over half my salary is going into these programs that we're talking about because I think they're necessary to help the Thai people, and so I really haven't had any relief, but all of my excess money and then half of my salary is going straight into these programs. And that's why I'm trying to raise a little extra funds while I'm in the States, because these things need to happen. They need to take place, and then so that we can continue to help these people grow and strengthen, and so that the church can take care of itself for years and years and decades to come. This is how the people live where we go and teach. There's a Thai bathroom, toilet, sink, tub, shower, everything else right there. I personally have bathed in that bucket many, many times. Of course, Thailand is the land of elephants. They use them as work animals. This particular elephant belongs to a member of the church. We buy our meat at an open market. And so it's open and it's hot. It's hot in Thailand. In the hot season, it cools down to about 101 at night. And so the meat sits out in the heat all day, sometimes 115, 120 degrees of heat. And so you try to buy your meat early in the morning right after they butchered it, and you take it to your house and you wash it and try to take care of it. Look at the beautiful vegetables, and yet we still have to be careful because in Thailand they fertilize with human dung. In the city, traffic is like this. Most people use motorcycles. It's the family vehicle. I've seen up to 6 people on a 120cc motorcycle because that's what they can afford to run. But here's what's important. Thailand has 70 million people, 70 million people that need to hear the gospel. 96.4% of the people in Thailand are Buddhist. Only 0.5% claim to be Christians. And you know very well that right here in Flatwoods, there are people who claim to be Christians that are not following the teachings of Christ. And so we know that actually less than that are members of the Lord's church. Thailand is a land of idolatry. When you look through the pages of Scripture and you see Paul going through Asia Minor, the same things that he encountered, we encounter. There's idolatry everywhere. The people eat blood. They congeal it, and they eat congealed blood. And so the various things that we read about in Acts that Paul faced and had to teach about are the things that we still are contending with in our society in Thailand today. Can you imagine a child this small bowing to an idol? I've seen children this small and smaller on their knees before an idol, and it'll break your heart. And so that's why we work, because we want every one of them to have a chance to know about a God who loves them and is concerned about them. I'm thankful that this young girl is the daughter of one of our members, and so she is being taught about a loving God, but there are so many children throughout Thailand who are not. 70 million people who need the gospel. The Thai brethren want and need your continued help. My family and I also want and need your continued help so that we can work together to spread the gospel. I'm trying to raise funds, as I said, to help these programs go on so that the work can continue to grow and continue to strengthen. I have 2 rules of giving. I know you've heard them before, but I give them everywhere I go. The first one is for individuals. If you want to help with this work as an individual, we are happy to have you contribute to this work. However, we have one rule. Do not take one penny away from your local contribution to help this work. This congregation has a budget. They need your contribution to meet that budget. And do not take away from one work to help another. That's wrong. Don't do it. What we're asking is if you can sacrifice a little, because if each of us give a little, a lot can be done for the Lord. More than you've been doing. But don't take away from your local contribution to give to this. That's not right. If you're going to do that, I'd rather not have it. I'm just be blunt with you. I'd rather not. And for congregations, I know this congregation has been helping us, and I'm so thankful. I hope that you'll continue to work with us as we continue to teach the lost in Thailand. But congregations, don't take money away from another faithful preacher or missionary to help this work. Robbing Peter to pay Paul is not right. We need to be growing in the grace of giving and not taking away from one work to help another. Reasons to help this work. You know, the gospel needs to be taught in its purity, its simplicity, and its power to save. My family and I have the ability to do that and to help the church to grow throughout Thailand. Together, we can fulfill the commission that God has given us. You know, there's lots of ways you can support the work. One is by corresponding with us. No matter how long we live there, you know, we love the brethren, they're great, but we are strangers in a strange land. And so we're always the outsiders. And so it's good to hear from home and hear from others. Pray for the work. Pray for the work. Pray for it. I beg you all to pray for the work. I believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe it. I believe in the power of prayer. And so pray for this work. Sometimes people say to me, Brother Mayo, all I can do. Don't ever say all I can do and prayer in the same sentence. Prayer is not a small thing. Prayer is a big thing. Pray for us. Prayer is never all I can do. Prayer is powerful. And so pray for us and pray for the work to continue. If you can give financially, remember the two rules as individual, as congregation. Maybe you can give one time, or maybe you can give ongoing monthly support. If you can, here's the information. That information is on some brochures on the back table. This is the way I've tried to live my life. See a need, meet a need, even if it costs you something. Because that's what Jesus did for me. Jesus saw our need, and he met our need even though it cost him something. He had to leave heaven, come to earth, take on the form of a servant. The Creator crucified by creation. Why? Because I had a need, you had a need, we had need. That's the example he gave. That's the lesson he taught in the parable of the Good Samaritan. See a need, meet a need, even if it costs you something. At the end of that parable, he said, go thou and do likewise. Brethren, we need to be people who see needs and meet needs, even if it costs us something. That's what my family and I are doing to serve the Lord in Thailand. That's what we need you to continue to do to help us continue to spread the gospel in Thailand. What I'd like to say as we close this morning is simply this. Which simply means, may God bless you all. I thank you so much for your help and for your prayers, for your love and your concern. And I'm thankful for the part that you have in teaching the lost in Thailand. Thank you.